Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Catholic Doctors, discussing medicine in light of church teaching. And now, The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek.
Welcome to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is your co-host, Dr. Michael Parker, in studio with Dr. Will Turek. Will, how are you today?
I am doing great, Mike.
Well, it's good to see you.
It's good seeing you.
You know, it's a little bit chilly today. A lot of people are wondering whether the spring has sprung or whether we're back into the winter.
My daughter just went to camp.
Camp?
Yeah.
Oh, is this like seventh grade camp or something like that?
Yep, that's it. She's marching on up there to Mohican and looking at, you know, salamanders and turning over leaves and all that.
After all, it is Earth Week, isn't it?
It is Earth Day today. We're taping on Earth Day.
I saw somewhere say it was Earth Week.
They're expanding it.
They're expanding it
to Earth Week because we don't worship the Earth enough.
Every time I see that, I think of George Carlin's rant on Earth Day. Such a great rant. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, you got
to
watch it.
I have seen it, but I need to watch it again.
No, you definitely do need to watch it again, but every day should be Earth Day.
Well,
save the most endangered species in the world.
Yeah, baby humans.
The individual, right.
That's right. Yeah. You got it. Well, that's what we're going to plan to do today, right?
Right. Well, we're going to talk about how we can save them.
Save more baby humans.
I mean, there's some exciting stuff that's coming out in the medical community, and it's based off of Napper technology that this got started, and that is the abortion pill reversal process, or the using high-dose progesterone that's been proposed by Dr. George Delgado, who we've had on the show before.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that, that Planned Parenthood is moving away from surgical abortions.
Right.
Because, they don't – what is the percentage? There's a large percentage of counties in all over the country that don't have abortion providers. So, therefore, they have to do this by telemed, or they have to do it they have to find other ways to abort children. And so they're doing it chemically at this point. And, in 2011, 19% of all abortions were chemical abortions.
Right, 19 to 23% of them in 2000. And that was up from 6% in 2001.
Right, exactly.
Whereas the number of abortion providers was down 4%, and the total number of abortions were down. But you always got to question the statistics. But, about a third or more of all abortions are performed prior to 7 weeks of gestation, and that's when the medical abortion is indicated for.
Legal to do.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, and the thing is that, you and I both encountered this in preparing for this show, is that, you have the two main bodies that collect data on abortion are the Guttmacher Institute, which was an arm of Planned Parenthood. Apparently, it's no longer, or at least they say that it's independent of Planned Parenthood now. And then the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, which is a government arm. But apparently, what they say is that Guttmacher is actually more accurate than the CDC.
Right.
And that's because there are at least two states that we know of that don't even report to the CDC about their abortion statistics, that being California and New York.
Which are probably two of the highest rates of abortion in the country.
And that's hence why their numbers are altered and not accurate.
That's a fairly significant drop from 23 to 19% when
Absolutely.
You think about it.
Yeah.
But, for our listeners, why don't we explain what, chemical or
good.
Medical abortion is?
Sure.
Well, most people have heard of RU486.
Right.
And the RU stands for Rafuclof or something like that. It's the initials of the company that made it.
Right.
And the numbers are, there was a 486 drug or chemical that they developed.
It was originally a French developed drug.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And it was actually legalized in this country in September 2000.
Right. Right. There was a big push not to have it legalized in this. I mean, there was a big outcry when it became legalized, and it got through the FDA fairly quickly.
And you know why that was? It was because Warren Buffett pushed it through.
Well, I did not know that.
Yes,
but,
he did.
He was
instrumental in getting it through.
It was pushed through fairly quickly without the typical scrutiny that drugs get when they're coming through.
The FDA used to have more teeth than they do now. That's for sure.
Well, I think they've become more politically motivated or have become under the influence of political influence more than anything else.
Right.
But I'm not here to debate that. But, that's an opinion.
That's another show.
That's an opinion, and I don't want to get in trouble from anybody in the federalities who are listening. But, you know, RU486 was found to be fairly effective in causing first trimester pregnancy losses. And it's typically given in a dose of 400 milligrams one time. And right now, they have to be watched while they take the medication. So if a woman comes in and she's very early pregnant, this medication has to be given within 49 days of the first day of their last menstrual period. So typically 7 weeks of gestation.
The thing is,
they should if they're wanting a medical abortion, that is the legal limits on that.
How often do you not have accurate dates at that point?
Well, that's very, very true. And that's where people, you know, there's probably ones that are a little bit later
right.
who are having these chemical abortions or, you know, outside that range. And I think that is why it is important that sometimes you push for the ultrasounds to be done in these clinics so that we know how far along they are actually, you know, and also that they don't have an ectopic pregnancy, because in this early gestational age, we're not sure
Where
that baby is.
Is it in the uterus? Is it in the tubes? Is it on the stomach? Is it somewhere in wherever it could be?
Right.
And so we don't know that, you know.
Well, you're absolutely right. We may not know where it is. But so it's a 400 milligram dose. They come in, I think, 200 milligram tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're given two of those tablets. And they take those tablets. And then about 24 to 48 hours afterwards, they're given another medication called Cytotec or Misoprostol,
which used to be used as a stomach protectant, but then we realized that this had this effect.
Right. Actually, the dose on Mifeprex is 600 milligrams, so they would be given three of those tablets, and then 400 milligrams of Misoprostol about 24 to 36 hours later.
Right.
And so what happens is the mechanism of action of the RU486 is it blocks progesterone receptors. Okay,
right.
And it does it at about two times the affinity that natural progesterone does. And for our listeners who may not understand what progesterone does, progesterone is just like it sounds. It's progestational. It's the hormone that's produced after a woman ovulates.
I never heard that. Yeah. Throughout medical school, I never heard that put that way. That's
well,
good.
I'm glad that I could elucidate something for you.
I'm telling you, I'm learning stuff. Thank you.
So progesterone is produced after the woman ovulates in very high levels to support an early pregnancy. It causes changes in the endometrial lining that helps to support the growth of an early pregnancy should it occur. And so what they're doing with the Mifeprex or RU486 is they are giving it to these women to block the progesterone receptors. By blocking the progesterone receptors, you block that continued growth of the supporting structures of the embryo. So you're blocking the development of the endometrium, you're blocking the decidua, you're having an effect on the muscle of the uterus so that it causes a death of the fetus.
So it basically can't implant in the uterus.
Well, by this time, the pregnancy is already implanted.
Ah, okay.
So what it's doing is it's inhibiting the normal growth.
So it's breaking down that structure. So
absolutely, it's breaking down those supporting structures of blood flow, nutrients, tissues, and chemicals that would help to support that pregnancy. So by blocking the progesterone, it's blocking that growth effect of that lining.
So at this point, you don't have a maternal aspect of placenta and a fetal.
Oh, absolutely you do.
So basically, it's breaking down just the maternal aspect of this.
Well, there's progesterone receptors throughout the whole tissue there.
Right.
But basically, what you're by doing that, you're blocking the ability of those maternal tissues to do their intended purpose, and that's to feed nutrients and blood flow to the baby.
So it just kind of chokes it off.
Exactly. And some people have called it suffocation.
Well.
You know, by some pro-life circles, they consider this to be a suffocation mechanism.
Yeah, right.
You know, is what I saw in my reading. And that's basically what you're doing. You're either taking and putting a pillow over someone's head so they can't continue to breathe or grow.
It's just a blob of cells, right?
That's absolutely right. You know, by 7 weeks, that baby is, you know, at least a centimeter long.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even a little bit longer in some cases. But it has a heartbeat. That heartbeat has been beating for almost a week and a half, 2 weeks by that time. And occasionally you can see the baby moving. Now, yeah. you won't see a lot of arms and legs when you do an ultrasound on a baby that's 7 weeks there, because mm-hmm. they still are pretty much arm buds that will continue to grow.
Right.
But that still is a baby any way you look at it.
Well, I mean, the fact is that it's inside a woman, so I don't think it's anything else, right?
No.
Yeah.
So that's basically how it works. And it does have the ability to bind, because the woman is producing progesterone herself.
Yeah.
And it has the ability to bind to those receptors twice the affinity that a normal one.
So it blocks out all the progesterone that you get.
If they got to the receptor at the same time,
uh-huh.
the Mifeprex would go first.
It'd beat the race.
Right.
Beat them in the race.
It'd be like a magnet.
Yeah.
You know, which has a stronger magnetic pull to that receptor.
Right.
And that would be the Mifeprex. And so it blocks that from happening. It also kind of helps to shut down the ovarian production of progesterone. That would help to support the pregnancy.
So for us family doctors who are a little slow on the uptake.
Now, don't say that, because my family was – I come from family doctors.
So basically it's sort of like the big bad wolf going in and blowing the house down.
Kind
of. Okay.
Kind of.
See, I get this.
Kind of.
Analogies that I can understand.
It's sort of like Rick Moranis and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids going inside to cure the illness or something like that. You know, I don't know.
But, all right, you know, back to work here.
Absolutely. So that's how it's working. And then 24 hours, the Cytotec is given, and that's basically to cause uterine contractions
that a
woman will expel the pregnancy.
Right. So, and that's why they say stay close to the toilet, stay, you know, in a place where you can easily get to, you know, somewhere where you can sit down and because you're going to have contractions, and it's pretty strong contractions.
They can be.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Very painful.
Right.
And so basically this is the two-step process by which you can do a chemical abortion.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, right. And this has to be done before 9 weeks, 8 weeks?
Less than this, 49 days since the first day of their last menstrual period.
Okay.
So within 7 weeks.
Within
7 weeks. And, you know, contraindications to having it done are some of the things we talked about, either a confirmed or suspected ectopic pregnancy or an undiagnosed, what we call mass out near the ovaries.
Right.
If they have an IUD in place, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They might explode
the IUD. Yeah.
It can affect.
Because you lose your contraception.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If they have adrenal failure or they're on steroids or they have an allergy to any of those things, or if they have a bleeding disorder or, well, you know, something like that, that's not good.
Too.
They shouldn't be taking it. But so you would expect that if they're going to be doing a medical abortion, that they would have done an ultrasound to confirm that this truly is in the uterus and that it's a good pregnancy going. Okay. You're listening to the Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We're talking about medically induced abortion and some new things that are going to be that are out there to help reverse the effects of these medicines and hopefully prevent the abortions. But remember, you can hear our show every Wednesdays at noon. So when you hear those fire alarms
go off,
yeah. Turn on the radio.
I did.
I was in the operating room, didn't hear them today, but I normally do if I'm in the office.
Usually I'm with a patient.
And then Sundays at 12:30, you can also pick us up.
Mm-hmm.
You can also follow us on Facebook at the Catholic Doctors page on Facebook.com and on Twitter at Catholic Doctors is our handle. Occasionally I get on there and I put a few tweets out or try to put something out there that may be of interest to you. So look forward to those things. I want to also remind everybody that on May 5th, the John Paul II Guild of the Catholic Medical Association, along with other guilds within the state of Ohio, will be holding their second annual Hippocratic Dinner with Dr. Patrick Lee from Franciscan University, who will be speaking. This will be held at St. Matthew's Catholic Church. The mass starts at 6 p.m. with dinner to 7 to 9 p.m. If you're interested, you can send us an email at cmacolumbusguild@gmail.com.
Changed it.
CMA Columbus Guild?
Yeah. No. Didn't we change the email address?
I don't think so. If it's wrong, you'll get a message back that says that wasn't right.
I'll get
it to you next
week. Look for Dr. Parker's name.
All Catholic and Christian members of the medical community are invited to attend. And if you are a graduating medical student who would like to take the original Hippocratic Oath that is true to the pro-life cause, you're welcome to attend. The dinner is free for you, and we will have you take the oath at the end of the dinner.
So now we got to the point where we explained, are you 46 and how that works and how it's used by, you know, Planned Parenthood clinics all over and so forth. Now, we had George Delgado, Dr. George Delgado on, who perfected this reversal method. And now you're going to explain, because we didn't really have a chance to explain it in a lot of detail.
Well, you know, George Delgado is a family practitioner. He is, well, first and foremost,
I want
you to
understand. He's a smart one too.
Well, so don't give yourself credit in all this matter. But George Delgado, you have to give him credit. Truly inspired by the Holy Spirit and a true pro-life heart, who was trained in Napro technology, and he got this thought. Well, you know, we give progesterone to help support early pregnancies in women who have had complicated pregnancies before with Napro technology. Why can't we use progesterone to block the effects of RU486 on the progesterone receptors and therefore rescue these babies from the pills in somebody who has taken the medication and immediately regrets it?
Pretty smart science.
Right. Well, and he's done the science behind this, and I actually saw him give a lecture on the science behind it. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you give progesterone in a high enough dose, now that affinity for binding is kind of counterbalanced. So where the RU486 has two times the binding, if you put twice the amount of progesterone in there that are out there for it, it may start to bind to those receptors so the RU486 can't work.
That's like chemistry. I remember this stuff.
Yeah, it's stoichiometry.
Stoichiometry. Oh,
is
my
that,
gosh.
Is that right?
That's good.
That's a St. Charles word.
That's a
big word. I don't know if that's stoichiometry or whatever it is. I don't really care. It's more like biochemistry.
It is
bio. But so if you bombard these receptors with progesterone in very high doses, then you hopefully will block those receptors from the RU486.
Okay.
And you need to get it early and get it often, because initially we talk about the half-life of a medication, which when we're talking about half-life, is we talk about how long does it take for half of the medication to be gone out of your system.
Right. Your liver, your kidneys, to get rid of it.
Right. So when RU486 is initially given, it's a very slow elimination with only about 50% of it being eliminated between 12 and 72 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay. But after that, it's a rather rapid loss. So it's pretty much gone from the system by 7 days after the medication is given. So if we can get in there within that, you know, first, you know, 12 to 24 hours afterwards and give the woman high dose progesterone, then we may be able to block those receptors, prevent the RU486 from working.
Right.
Okay. And then you continue to give these shots several times a week throughout the first trimester of pregnancy. There's been some success in maintaining those pregnancies that have been exposed to RU486.
And we do this. We give progesterone for a lot of different reasons. So women, I mean, it's not an unusual thing to prescribe this, and it's an easy, it's easily accessible. I mean, progesterone is at every pharmacy in the country.
You're absolutely right. Progesterone, especially the type of progesterone that we're using, is what we call a bioidentical type of progesterone, where it has the same chemical structure as what your body would produce.
Right.
Okay. And so your body doesn't see it as foreign. It doesn't react any differently than it would normally. And it is used in a number of medical conditions, and it's used by infertility specialists to support early pregnancies that are from in vitro fertilization or other reproductive assisted technologies. It's also used to help with treatment of premenstrual symptoms, abnormal bleeding, a number of different ways.
So it's a safe medicine that people can, it is
a fairly safe medication, especially when it's given in a bioidentical form.
Right.
It doesn't tend to have any significant side effects. Probably the biggest side effects you get from it are going to be some breast tenderness, maybe a little bit of stomach upset, nauseousness, maybe some hair loss, very, very mild, and some acne. But those are very short-lived.
Yeah.
But most women tolerate it. And most women, what they complain about is it is an injection, and they get some tenderness at the injection site.
Right.
You know, and if the injection is not given properly, some of the oil that it's given in can come to the skin and cause some red reaction and some leaking.
Well, now they're talking about putting, this is something that is, they're wanting to get into the hands of young women, who are sexually active and could potentially be pregnant.
Well, I think it's a morning after pill.
Well, the morning after pill is that's a different animal entirely than what we're talking about here.
I think with the safety profile of RU486, that's definitely a bad idea. But I also don't think that that will necessarily become true, that they try to get RU486 into the hands of young women who are pregnant because of the the fact that you do have to confirm that this is an intrauterine pregnancy.
This is essentially going to be a medicine that is going to have more utility in the hands of someone who is in Nebraska or someone who's in rural Texas and they run an abortion clinic and you can't get there.
Well, I think this is going to where this has already been around for multiple years here in the United States, and where it's coming in, where you're seeing it more and more is in those people who believe in abortion and would do abortions if there wasn't such, stigmata associated with it.
Right.
They can kind of do this on the down low.
Average OBGYN who looks respectable.
Or family practitioner. It doesn't have to be an OBGYN. It can be a family practitioner. It can be an internist. It could be somebody else who, thinks that this ought to be available and thinks that it ought to be done. They can do this and not too many people know about it.
Yeah.
Because they may have the pills. They have to have the pills there in the office because they have to be able to give it to the woman and watch them take it. But then they just give them a prescription for the side attack later on.
Right.
And they do, and they can go get that, and nobody knows.
And so this is what you're saying is this could be undetectable ways that abortions happen, and Planned Parenthood doesn't have to be involved.
Well, I think with the prescribing regulations, the doctors having to keep track of this medication on their logs in their office, it's not undetectable, but it's not one of these ones where you actually know that they're doing surgical abortions. So, it may just look like a regular routine office visit to anybody else who's watching. And I don't know that the same 24-hour waiting period applies and the same consent form applies. I would assume that it does.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that could be done, and not too many people are going to know that they're doing it unless they advertise for it.
Right. And the fact is that I'm sure there are plenty of advocates out there who would do this if given the chance.
Well, and as you said earlier on, there's more and more advocacy groups out there that are putting up websites that tell women where they can get it, where they can go to get it, how they can do it anonymously, how they can do it without other people knowing, and those types of things.
So are you reversing these RU46 women who take it?
I have received information from George Delgado's group, and I just have to send in my information for them, and then I'll be on the list, and then I can start receiving calls.
Because he's got a network.
He does have a network of physicians who are available to be called within that 24-hour period and made available to give injections of progesterone and to continue to give the injections of progesterone.
I mean, that's a godsend. And so give me a scenario in which that you might see, you get a phone call for this sort of thing.
Well,
like a patient profile.
The scenario is basically, it kind of goes like this. Mm-hmm. A woman goes in to get the RU486 pills. She takes the pills and she walks out and she thinks, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes home and she may talk to her mother, or she may talk to somebody else, and they call a crisis pregnancy center and they ask them, what can I do?
Right.
And the crisis pregnancy center says a lot of them know about this procedure. Now they say, let's get you in touch with the doctor who can do this.
Right.
They go to the website. It's abortionpillreversal.com, I believe. And they can go to that website and they can see a list of doctors who may be in their area who are willing to prescribe that medication.
Right.
Now, sometimes they have to drive to get that, and they have to call the doctor and get there and make sure that they have the progesterone to give them at that time. So they could even give them oral progesterone or vaginal progesterone
before
they could get to the shot.
Right.
And that may help with those effects too. So that's typical scenario of what you see.
Okay.
Or they get on and they go Google, how can I reverse the abortion pill? Or how can I reverse my Mifeprox? This website.
I mean, like I say, if you're that, equivocal on having an abortion, I'm just trying to figure out what would happen? I mean, because, I guess there are a lot of women who are coerced into abortion.
Well, there are a lot of women who are coerced into abortion, but you think about it. If a woman goes in for a surgical abortion, she goes in there, she has it done, and what's one of the first things she does after she has it done? She regrets it.
Yeah.
Right? The same with taking the pill, except now with the pill, you haven't actually gotten rid of the baby yet.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's
so
true.
You still got the baby. If you've had a surgical abortion, you've gotten rid of the baby.
Right.
And so when you do the medical abortion, you've got, and you walk out of there and you regret what you've done.
Yeah.
You've got some hope.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
This is obviously great hope.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Wonderful. I remember talking to George Delgado and I thought, this could be revolutionary. This really could be. And this is something that they should teach in residencies everywhere.
Right. Oh, I doubt they're going to do
that. They're not going to do that.
You know, but
residency you and I run, they will.
Right. Well, once again, you know, this show always goes so fast. we have such a great conversation. But I think it's important that people understand that abortion, chemical abortions, as they're called, are going to become more common typical abortion centers are becoming under more regulations and everything else. So I want people to know that they can go to the website abortionpillreversal.com, yep. Or they can call the number 877-558-0333. Again, that's 877-558-0333 for help. It may not be too late once they've taken the pill.
Yeah.
And pretty soon we should have some providers here in the Central Ohio area who can provide for those things. Once again, we want to thank you for listening to The Catholic Doctor Show, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Until next week, we hope your week is happy, healthy, and holy.
God bless.
The Catholic Doctors is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of The Catholic Doctors with Dr. Michael Parker and Dr. Will Turek are available at stgabrielradio.com.